Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Talking BizTech. I'm your host, Sakif, and today we are going to explore the effective education in marketing. But before we do that, I just want to thank the digital marketing startup, CSTubeBoss, for making this happen. CSTubeBoss currently opened a store, and they're selling Amazon products. So if you want to check that out, the link is down in the description box. Now back to the topic. An important trend in 2022 is a marked shift from the subject-based role, learning more to skill-oriented learning methods. See, I believe more important than actually theoretical training, theoretical learning. Educationists are emphasizing on the importance of building the aptitude around cognitive thinking, problem solving, and management. The education trend in 2022 include technological upskilling, soft skills training, innovation in the subject matter, and personalized learning space. The education industry is very competitive, which means successful schools are continuously refining their education offering to give their students the best learning experience and enhancing their marketing efforts. Education marketers are familiar with all the challenges to build online brands, website optimization, and digital marketing strategies. So my guest for today's episode is Tamsin Taylor, who is a confidence trainer and a solo trainer of Tamsin Connect. So let me just go ahead and bring her on Talking This Thing. Hi, Tamsin.
Hi. I like your intro music. It's all peppy. I'm all revved up now.
Well, it's actually, I won't say it's my intro music. It's more like, it's a sample intro music of StreamYard. I still have to work on mine. But thank you so much, Tamsin, for your time.
Nice to see you.
Very good. It's great to see you as well. And Tamsin, before we dive into the effective education of marketing, I just want to get to know you a little better.
Okay.
So tell me about yourself and your educational background.
I have a PhD in cognitive psychology from the University of Western Ontario. I finished that after a long time in school. And then I was a consultant here in Guelph for about 5 years. And then I had my son. After that, I have a lot of experience teaching adults at the university and college level. I taught one course at the University of Guelph, and then as a sessional instructor, and then they cut their sessional budget. So I didn't get any more teaching there. So that kind of headed me on learning about entrepreneurship and being, as you said, a solopreneur. I constantly want to be learning myself. And of course, I consider, as a trainer, I take an educational approach to helping people. I particularly focus on women, particularly mothers, because I had a hard time when I first had my son.
Smart.
And I focus on a lot of confidence, more broadly emotion, and I want people to feel whole. A lot of us are wandering around this world feeling really lost and broken, and I want to shift that so people can feel more whole and more connected to their deeper purpose. And that it's a long journey. It's been a long journey for me. I plan on being on that journey till I kick the bucket. And trying to foster that journey and guide people on that journey is kind of where I'm at right now.
Oh, wow. That's interesting that you want to guide the people in their journey. And yeah, no, good luck with that. The journey can be complicated at times, right?
And very individual, yet at the same time, it's important to not feel alone in it.
That's true. So, that's true. Yeah. Yes, I agree 100%. It can be a lone path. It can be strange at times. Damson, you do a lot of things. You know, like I've been in one of your the video virtual conference, mm-hmm. and you are a confidence trainer, solopreneur. So I'm just curious to know, what does a typical day look like for you?
We are very COVID cautious. So my husband and I both work from home, mm-hmm. and my son's 11 in grade 6 and he does online school. Wow. So a lot of my day is helping my son with school. And that's one reason why I love my business, because the most important thing for me in my business is having the flexibility that I need to help my son. He's, mm-hmm. He's doing online school. He has special needs. He's diagnosed with autism and some other special needs. So he requires a lot of support. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I try to incorporate learning in every day, whatever that looks like. I take a lot of online courses. I read a lot of books, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I try to make sure that I have some creation time, because as you know, the event you were at most recently was my book launch. So yes. I'm an author. I published, self-published my first official for real people book this summer. And so I try and take some time to write or do other creative things, to content creation, basically, right? Like, you got to have something you're producing.
Yeah.
And then I also need social time. So something like this is, you know, I love talking with you and other people, whether it's a group situation or a single person situation. I'm an extroverted person, and it's hard in the pandemic when we can't physically get together with people. So I can't do that every day, but I try several times a week to make sure I take care of myself and connect with other people, because it's something I need. So yeah. And I didn't say anything about marketing, did I? No. One of the things I do, every day, I run two main Facebook groups. So I have Guelph Mom Supporting Moms and Guelph Business Moms. Mm-hmm. And every day I'm in there doing stuff as a community builder. They're not huge money makers. Like, the reason why I do them isn't so much to make money, but it's part of creating that connection with other people, helping them feel whole and not alone, which is a huge piece of what I want to do in the world. Mm-hmm. But I do talk about what I do for my work and do it. So that's part of marketing, right? Showing people what you do and that you can do it well. And then people associate that with you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That is super interesting. That is awesome. You did mention about content creation.
Yes.
Before you mentioned about your Facebook group. So yeah, you did talk about marketing, and then we'll get into, we'll dive into more about it.
Okay.
I just want to know, this is a great thing that you and your husband work from home, so that you can support your kid even more. I mean, that's actually a really good thing right now. Like remote work or working from home, and people are doing that. A lot of people prefer working from home. I do prefer hybrid environment.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to go to office sometimes. I like to work from home. Damson, do you still go to networking events? Because a lot of people are meeting in person nowadays, right? COVID's pretty much like almost gone. So
people are acting like it's gone. That's a whole other topic of conversation. We consider ourselves high risk for severe complications from COVID. Oh. So we are not. I am not going out. I am not physically meeting people. We do go for walks outside and try and keep very distant from other people.
Yeah.
I do up until this September, I would participate in online virtual networking. Unfortunately, the group that I really enjoy doesn't fit in my schedule this year or this term, because my husband's a professor at the University of Guelph. Another reason I love the flexibility in my job, I have to schedule my work time around when he teaches.
Oh.
So my schedule changes with his schedule. So it just didn't work out this time. But I'm just taking a little bit of an aside, but my Guelph Business Moms group is actually moving from a public group to a private group on Facebook today at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. I said it and Facebook is like, you have a mandatory 3-day waiting period before you can make this permanent change. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's your platform. This is another thing about marketing, right? Social media, when you're on someone else's platform, you have to follow their rules. So that is happening. And I'm hoping to get more networking through that group, maybe create some more virtual, like this kind of synchronous connection opportunities. Maybe it won't happen. I'm going to see if there's interest, but it is, there's been a lot of changes to Facebook lately. Facebook is kind of my favorite, if you could call it that. There's a lot of problems with Facebook. It's where I am on social media most of the time because of my groups. I think I would have left if I didn't have groups that I run. And also I'm a member of other groups that are run very well. I pretty much don't go to the newsfeed anymore, but you got to adapt, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And you're also right that a lot of people are pretending that COVID is gone because like the pandemic is kind of linked with climate change. So we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Like, actually, no one can really tell what's going to happen in the future. But yeah,
and I can totally understand people being tired of it. It doesn't change reality, but people are tired of it. So,
a lot of people, myself, are fed up, right, with the pandemic. So we want to get out. We want to meet people in person, right?
Yeah.
But I'm also a huge fan of virtual events. So that's why, I like the one you organized.
Thanks.
So tell me about the effectiveness of education in marketing and how does that help you and other entrepreneurs?
Okay. So I could see taking this question. Do you mean education about marketing or using marketing to promote education? Or I'm not quite sure exactly what direction you want me to go in because I just want a little more direction because I don't want to go off in a tangent you don't want me to go off on.
No, that's fine. No, thank you for clearing with me. I want you to tell me about the education in marketing.
Okay. Yeah. So getting educated about marketing.
Exactly.
Okay. One of the things that I really feel about education, particularly in the age of Google. I'll just be honest. I'm 50 years old. Like I started my education way before Google. And I remember, especially in my undergraduate work, it was a pain to go to the library. We had to photocopy things like that, you know, the old days.
Old days, yeah.
When getting the information you wanted was actually a challenge. Now we're so much more in an age where getting information is not, you Google and you get 3 bazillion hits in 0.03 seconds, right?
That's true.
So to me, one of the major changes that happened in education or just trying to learn things in general, and of course, this is over decades, not over the last year or so. What people need with education is curation and filtration way more than getting more information. They need the right information at the right time to solve the right problem. And there's just information overload. And so as an educator myself, it's something I try to weed out and give a lot less information because you want to be useful and just dumping a whole bunch of information. In my consulting job, we talked about, and they talk about it like this in the military too, I think, like drinking from a fire hose.
Oh.
It's not, the visual, right? It's not useful when you get information at a rate that it's trying to drink from a fire hose. So I know a lot of, there are two main, I'm interested if you agree with this, these marketing messages. These are the two marketing messages, especially with social media that I hear. It's like the shiny object syndrome. There's this new fancy thing you gotta do. There's a lot of that. And there's also, you have to be everywhere all the time.
Well, I would partly agree.
Not that those are good things,
yeah,
but those are things you hear. Like, yeah. I know there are a ton of people out there who love Instagram.
Yes. Yeah.
I get told all the time, be on Instagram. My clients are going to be on Instagram. Instagram is awesome. I hate Instagram. I do not like Instagram. I don't like being there. I don't like creating content for it. I'm not going to do it. Like, so getting back to your question about education, partially it's knowing yourself.
True.
I think if you're going to create a marketing strategy that you can be consistent with, and okay, fun is one of my values. You can have a little fun with it, you know, enjoy creating content. And I think there's two reasons for that. Part of it is you want to have fun with what you're doing, right? Like, yes. enjoy what you're doing. Don't force yourself to try and do something you don't want to do. Because you'll know. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, well, people get the vibe and the energy and all of that, which may or may not be true, but you know, and you are either having fun or you're not. So why not pick something where you have fun? And the other piece of it is it's a heck of a lot easier to do it and be consistent and not put it off if it's not something you hate. Right. And consistency is one of what people say, what I hear people say, what I suck at doing a lot of the time, but what people, consistency is what tends to get you results, not where you are, what you're doing, way more than where you are and what you're doing is being consistent about it. So people get to know you and get to find you and that sort of thing. So figuring out where you can get good information to solve the problem you have while you have it in a way that works for you is, I think, the challenge of education in almost any area right now. Mm-hmm. But I would also say, can I hold up my book? One of the things I talk about in my book, I hold it up? Yeah. Talks of success, I talk about, and I'm trying to find my way with the camera right now. One of the things I talk about in the paradox of success is this challenge about wanting to be confident before you do something, right? So education is partially about learning, but it can also be about doing. You were talking about practical aspects of education and the knowing, the learning, the kind of book learning stuff, but getting practice and the doing is very important for learning as well. And those things obviously work very well together. Work well together. They interact a lot. Yeah. But if you only focus on one, if you focus more on the book learning type thing and never move to doing and getting practice, you're only doing half of what you probably need to do. So I don't know if there's as much of an emphasis on doing in education right now, but that is something that I think would help. I got from your introduction that you kind of see that happening. I haven't really been paying attention to it, so maybe it is happening out there. I certainly am promoting it myself, mm-hmm. that sometimes you need to get practice when you're not confident enough about your ability. Sometimes it's not reading another book or watching another course that you need to do.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right? And Tamsin, there's another social media site, which I think it is more popular than Instagram, which is TikTok, right?
Okay.
But I feel like I don't know much about TikTok because I don't have a TikTok account. But what I see on Facebook is that people can post TikTok videos on Facebook, right? And
I've seen that.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense to me, right? Rather than why create an account on TikTok, right? My next question to you, Tamsin, in your opinion, what is the right strategy that can spread educational content like a wildfire?
Okay, education content.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a one size fits all. Most of my flaw, I'm not a one size fits all kind of person. So I don't think that there's one social media platform. I do think it's having your own website is usually a good idea because people expect to be able to find you.
Exactly.
And then you can blog or vlog or do whatever you want for content creation on there. There's a lot of different options. You don't have to just write stuff, but usually people expect to find you on your own website. And again, we talked about Facebook changing rules and having to adapt at least way more than a social media platform. Your blog is more in your control, right?
Yep.
But I guess two things I would, when someone's considering what to do, I don't have a good answer for, there's nothing I can say, oh, do this. Everybody do this. It'll work. You'll make tons of cash. I don't have that answer. And anyone who does, grain of salt. but I would go back to saying again, find something you love doing, create content that you love creating, put it in a place you love being as a consumer as well as content creator, because to me, part of it is about conversations, and you don't get into conversations if you don't like going somewhere. Right. So do something you like and don't try and be everywhere. And again, consistency, don't hop around a whole bunch. Don't try one thing for a week, one thing for a month, another thing for 2 weeks. Like, I mean, by all means, if you haven't found what you love yet, try a whole bunch of things and see what you want to have stick. But the other thing I would say that, now this is going to be a little, I won't say controversial. This will go against a lot of advice because people now are all about the freebies, right?
Yes.
Build your email list by making this lead magnet and do this and do that. The problem is then you end up with a ton of people on your email list who will never buy anything from you. It's a waste of time.
That's true.
So for me, I would more recommend, you want customers. You know, one customer is better than 100,000 subscribers or people on your email list who will never spend any money with you. Depending on what you want to do, if you want people on your email list because they'll engage with you and talk to you and give you research information for researching products and stuff like that. But if they're not the people that are going to buy it, do you figure out where you want to spend your time? Because none of us has more time than the other person, right? We are all limited. We've got to choose, and it's opportunity cost. If you spend your time doing X, you don't spend your time doing Y. But consider putting out, like, this is one reason why I decided to write books. My books are a way I market myself, and if people buy my books, I know they will buy something.
That's true. And I'm glad that you mentioned customers, because 80% of customers do their online research before they purchase anything. And then B2B marketers are spending 28% of their marketing budget on contents. And also another fact is 64% of purchase decision of customers rely on blogs than newspapers, right? And email marketing, you have to be specific and you have to have a targeted audience. So email marketing have a 27% more conversion rate. Thompson, tell me about your solopreneurship and what digital channels do you use to promote it?
Okay. I've pivoted a lot. Right now I am focusing on books.
Yep.
I do some one-on-one work, and I have some online courses that I mentioned in the books. And, you know, I do have a quote unquote freebie. I have a weekly email list where I give out weekly confidence tips. So it is something that, if people feel overwhelmed and just kind of want one hint a week, that's kind of for them. And I love education. I want to do things that I feel talented and skilled at and enjoy doing. So that's where I'm kind of headed now. I also like doing speaking engagements. You mentioned I run some online events. I don't have anything planned now, but probably I'll do another Women's Day event because this will be my third one if I do one this coming up year. And I've really enjoyed doing that. And I like inviting other people to present as well because I'm Tamsin Connects. I'm a connector. I like highlighting other people and talking with them and engaging and enjoying learning from them and not feeling, you know, I always like bringing people together and almost always someone says, oh, thank goodness I'm not the only one facing this struggle or feeling this way or wondering what's going on. I think that's a hard thing about entrepreneurship, particularly I deal with a lot of coaches. And it's a really hard thing for a coach to say, I don't have all the answers.
Oh.
And it can be very threatening. At the same time, people aren't very relatable if they come across like they're perfect. So it's this balancing act between, I've had someone tell me they would never, ever take any of my advice as a confidence trainer because I don't seem confident all the time. Like, I'm not Tony Robbins, right? Like, and I kind of have two responses to that. One is it's not good to be confident all the time. If you understand, sometimes fear, to me, fear is and confidence are opposites. So sometimes fear is appropriate, right? And there's a lot more behind that. And I talk about it, but I don't need to go down that rabbit hole right now. But being confident all the time, I don't think is a good thing. Yeah. Second of all, it's like you can criticize somebody who's like 300 pounds for giving you weight loss advice. But if they were 800 pounds a year ago, maybe they know something. Right. So a lot of people don't know how far I've come. I've come a long way on my journey. Yeah. Especially when it comes to emotional health and the self-worth, those two pieces. Yeah, I am, I'm at least halfway up Everest. So I've come away and I think a lot of people want advice from someone who remembers what it was like to be where they are. So, my journey will keep going. I don't ever plan to retire because this is too much fun. and I like to be open to new experiences and take unexpected opportunities and look at it that way. I mean, the pandemic is a really good example. I really loved going. I had a regular, monthly dinner thing. I had weekly networking. I'd go out to coffee and everything. But I started, when the pandemic happened, I started a virtual group. Oh. And two of my best friends, one lives in Michigan, one lives in Scotland. They couldn't come for a monthly dinner. Like, so I want to not only admit that sometimes things suck, but there's also good things that come with change. So anyway, long answer. Do you have another question?
those are really good points. And I agree with you that being overconfident, it can actually, it's not good to be overconfident, right? And I just want to know, like, what strategies do you use to build your online community?
My biggest online community is Guelph Mom Supporting Moms. We just passed 5,000, which is a pretty large for a local group. I mean, you see groups on Facebook that are like hundreds of thousands, but they're not local usually. Maybe New York has one, but. But no, to be a part of that group, you're supposed to be within reasonable travel distance of Guelph because It is. We talk a lot about local resources and events and stuff like that. So it's not of a great use to people who aren't close. And Facebook, that's one of the reasons why it's hard to create communities off of social media platforms. Facebook sends me people all the time.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
It's interesting. I do have a question in my, you know, fill these questions out before you become a member. And I do ask, how did you find out? About half the people, roughly half, the people say from a friend, from a relative, you know, from someone else in the group, but about half of people were like, Facebook suggested it to me.
Oh, makes sense.
So there's I do get a lot of referrals now at this point, but it's also a lot of the Facebook algorithms suggesting groups. And a lot of people just go in and, you know, type Guelph Moms and they want to know that way. So the search engine too. And we just celebrated our 7th birthday too. So it didn't happen overnight. I remember this phase and it was at least a few weeks long. I don't remember if it was longer than that. I was around 100 members.
Oh, wow.
And I would check my membership and it would be like, yay, 102. Darn, 98. People would come and go and it would be like, yay, 110. Oh, 97. And it's just, you know, it's natural and I don't notice it that much anymore. I notice the big milestones and stuff, but it does take consistency. It takes showing up. And it's one of the things about it. I have rules. This is my little corner of the internet where I can make people be kind. Okay. I can't make people be kind, but I can create rules, and if people hugely violate the rules, then I have the ability to turf them.
Exactly.
Right?
You can remove them, yep.
And I don't do it callously or quickly. I often give people warnings unless the violation is just way, way across the line. If people start swearing at people and calling people names, I've had that happen once. And I'm just like, yeah, no, not let. No, I don't feel safe letting you stay.
Exactly. No, like that's why there's group rules. There are group rules, and that's why people should follow these guidelines, right? Samson, ma'am, we're almost near the end.
Oh,
I have
okay.
one final question to
sure.
you. So my question is, like, what advice would you give to an individual who wants to start a solopreneurship?
Start slow.
That's actually good advice.
Yeah, I didn't start slow, really, in the sense I didn't have another job at the time. But I did, when I started, I had no idea what I was going to do, but I did know I wanted to help moms because I could identify with my own struggle.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do that in a way that I enjoyed and that used my talents and skills, but also was needed. So a lot of people have side hustles and side gigs and start slow and try and see how they can get something to work. Make sure you have something that people will pay for.
Yeah.
But also find something that feeds your soul. And I mean, the paradox of success, the whole thing of that book is make success personal. If you're only in it for the money, for most people, that's not going to be enough.
That's true.
So figure out what you want out of your business before you put a lot of yourself into it and a lot of your resources into it.
Mm-hmm.
If I can add another little piece of advice, don't keep it a secret. I know a lot of people feel like, oh, I've got this great business idea. I'm going to go into my basement. It's like authors with a book. Very similar. I've got this great idea for a book. I don't want anyone to steal it. So I'm going to go and finish it and then put it out there and then no one cares. Right? Because in talking about your idea, there's usually not a really unique idea. Like, to be brutally honest, most of us aren't aren't coming up with something totally new.
Yeah.
That someone can just steal and then we lose out and we're going to do it differently. Like, how many stories are there out there? Like 7 or something. Every story in the world is one of 7 base stories, but so many, how you do it makes a big difference.
That's true.
But you don't want to not talk about it because you want to know if there's a market for it. You want to know who needs it. You want to know how people talk about the problem. There's a lot of research you need to do that if you're working alone in your basement, you just don't do. I don't know if you've found that, but a lot of people kind of go off and they feel like they create this great thing and then they go, ta-da. And nobody cares. And it's crickets. You hear the dreaded crickets and they wonder where they went wrong, but they were so afraid to talk about it that they never got any feedback.
Yeah. And at one point they do give up, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's happening to me right now, but I'm trying not to give up. Just go through it. just keep trying, keep experimenting. Tamsin, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For your time, for your advice, for your knowledge. I love your energy and your enthusiasm. I'm glad that you enjoy what you're doing, right? Mm. So that's the most important thing, right?
Well, I don't know. I have a list of 6 things and making money is number 6. So I talk about this a lot. I've thought about it a lot and knowing what I want out of my business.
Yeah.
Is I can't feel successful unless I know and get what I want out of my business.
True. That is very good and very important. I'll just turn off your screen right now. Okay. And then, but you can stay there. We'll talk soon. And
okay.
But thank you again for your time and have a wonderful day.
Yep. Thank you. And thanks everybody for watching and listening. And we'll chat soon.
Chat soon. Yeah. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in to Talking BizTech. Do not forget to like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to check out the CSTU Boss store, they're currently reselling Amazon products. So make sure to check that out. And thank you again for tuning in and have a wonderful day. Bye for now.